Good evening. I'm sorry. Good evening. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, that we have to meet together in your name. We ask, Lord, that you move. We ask that you control this meeting. We ask that you bless us with your word, Father, that you help me tonight and Stephen and the other speaker, Lord, who's going to be presenting your word to this church, Lord. I just ask that that you help us. We need your help. Lord, I just pray for a true revival in our hearts, Lord. Maybe there's someone here who's not saved and they need to truly think about eternity. And also us that are saved, Lord. We also need to think about eternity and what really matters. And you really matter, Lord. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Joshua. Joshua comes right after Genesis and right before Revelation, if that helps you out. Joshua chapter 6. That actually was funnier in Polish. You guys are asleep. Joshua chapter 6. You know, I'm gonna read this story a little bit, and it really is a fantastic story. If it wasn't in the Bible, you know, I would not believe it, right? Someone tells me of a military strategy is to walk around a city and the wall is gonna fall down. It makes no sense at all, right? It's just not gonna work. And so we know it happened because it's in the Bible. There's lots of things that happen that are in the Bible, and it came out of God's mouth. So that's why we believe it. Amen. We might not understand it, you know. And God, you know, sometimes he does things, and sometimes things happen in history that we just have no idea why these things happened or how they happened. We just got to believe it. That's just faith. And you know, I want to start reading here in Joshua chapter 6 in verse 1. It says, "Now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on, and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass that when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark. And the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord come past the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. You know, this is a very interesting story, and I think we can find some excellent lessons not only for Christian work and Christian ministry, but our personal life. I think there's some things here that are worthy to be pulled out of here. You know, lots of times as a Christian church or you as a believer, you know, we think, and I know I can think back that when I got saved, I mean, everything was brand new, right? Everything was fresh, right? It's like when you get married, right? This month, Karen and I celebrated our 23rd anniversary. Our 23rd anniversary. But yeah, I mean, things are good, you know? I'm happy. I have a good wife. I have a good life. You know, I love her to death. I wouldn't want to be, I want to be with her no matter what, right? I'd rather be with her, right? If somebody invites me to go wherever, you know, I would rather be with my wife, seriously. But you know, things aren't always fresh and always alive like it was, well, the first day we got married, right? When we hopped on a plane that day and where did we fly out of? Wherever we flew to cross into New Mexico, right? That week was incredible. Right? I mean, the things we saw, we're just traveling together and a nice rental car. And we just, you know, starting our lives. Things were just very fresh. But, you know, after a while, you know, waking up and doing the same thing and just being married, right? Things get a little, well, routine, right? And I think that's exactly what the Christian life and lots of times ministry is. Right? Lots of times when we think about missions, when we think about, you know, doing, what God called us to do and give the gospel to the uttermost, it's all about routine. Right? It's all about doing the same thing. Right here we have God telling his people, I've given you the city and the way you're gonna conquer them is you're going to get up for 6 days and walk around the city. And then the seventh day, you're going to do it again 7 times. So 13 times they had to get up and do exactly what God told them to do. Just doing routine stuff, right? You know what? Let me tell you something. The Christian life or ministry or just being part of the local church you're not going to always hit a home run every single day. It does not happen, right? I mean, things were very exciting when I first got saved and coming here and listening, and it's still exciting to me. It's still good, but not like it was before. Everything was brand new. There are some preachers that when I see them or when I come up and they're going to preach, I get excited. Other preachers, I say, man, I hope he has a good message. And that's the truth, right? I mean, and I'm a really glad when they do. But, you know, things aren't always, you know, 100% all the time. You're not going to come to church and we're not going to be in the ministry and we're not going to be doing stuff. And we're always going to have a positive response, or we're not always going to go out just beaming, or we're not always going to go out and see results. It's all about doing the same thing every single day of your Christian life. Man, you know what? I love the mission conference. I love coming here, you know, during this week and being around people and seeing people, you know, that I haven't seen for, you know, a long time, and fellowship and going out, you know, after the meeting and just talking, or even during lunch and just hanging out. This is all good. And if you've been here this week in the morning meetings and in the night meetings and seen people that probably are on the north side now or on the south side now, and it's like a reunion, guess what's going to happen Wednesday, a week from now?
it's going to be the same old people that were that belong to this church, right?
You might just feel like, man, this place was full last Wednesday. You know, this place was full last Sunday. Man, things were really, you know, going good, you know, last week. And now we're back to the same thing. Hey, the Christian life, ministry, the local church, your personal life, it's about doing the same thing over and over and over in obedience to what God says.
You know, another thing that we can see here is they did something by faith. It took a lot of faith. Did you hear any argument from Joshua when he heard what he was supposed to do? I mean, you know, you see all the way through verse 5, God is given the instructions, right? And all of a sudden, verse 6, Joshua just turns around and gives out exactly to the people, exactly what God told him. That is just incredible to me. I mean, nothing like, one more time. You know, I mean, really? That's what we're going to do? We're going to walk around this thing? I mean, you're going to give us the victory by just doing nothing and just letting you, you know, do everything and by us shouting, by us, you know, lifting our voice up, the wall is going to fall down? That takes a lot of faith. But you know, we're called to walk by faith. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, the Bible says about evangelizing. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:7, it says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We believe that by faith. You know, when I'm down there in Mexico and we are laboring down there, this is what I've been called to do, and I am fulfilling by faith what I believe God has called me to do. And you back here, right here, doing the same old routine, doing what God called you to do, and being faithful by faith, we're continuing the walk. We're continuing to follow God. It's not anything spectacular. You know, if God wanted to throw down thunderbolts from the sky to flatten the wall, he could have done it. You know, if they wanted a light show, God could have given them a light show. God could have done anything else, but he chose to tell them, you're going to walk around this city for 6 days. And on the seventh day, seven times. And then when I tell you, you're going to shout. And then when you shout, that wall is going to fall down. That's faith. You know, another thing that I think about, that obviously this is incredible. If you look in verse 10, it says, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. I mean, hey folks, this is like a miracle. You know? I mean, you can't, I'm gonna tell, he just told them what was gonna happen. We're gonna do this. And when you're walking around this city, not a word. Just thinking about it, you and I have thoughts, right? One of my huge problems that I've always had is I talk too much, right? I say things I shouldn't say, right? I mean, one of the things that Karen always tells me is restrain. please, you know, think about what you're going to say. Don't say that. Or, you know, we could be somewhere, right? And, you know, in a crowd or whatever, and she's next to me. And if someone says something or maybe walks up, you know, maybe they look a little strange or something. She already knows. She's just poking me. And I know, I said, okay, I have to restrain. I can't say anything, right? Because I know something's going to come out. I don't know if she sees it in my eyes or she sees it in my face, you know, my facial expressions. I don't know, but I'm going to say something. And it's probably going to be dumb. But you know, God tells him, you cannot open your mouth. You cannot say absolutely nothing while you're walking. Obedience. You know, we are called to obey God. You know, I mean, maybe there was somebody there saying, well, why? You and I, why is that so important? Why is it? Look, if the shout wasn't at the level, you know, that it should have been or whatever, I don't think yelling or I don't think screaming or I don't think praising, whatever they were doing when God said shout and they started praising God possibly, I don't think the actual, decibels of their voice is what caused the wall to fall down. Because you can look at stadiums, 100,000 people screaming. You know, the AT&T Center when the Spurs play, screaming on the top of their lungs, and that stand is still there. So I don't think it was the decibels right coming out of their mouth. You know, they had to scream, and you say, well, why? Why did they do that? Why was it necessary? And you know what the answer is? Because God said so. Just that simple. Me as a parent, I used to love saying that to Lauren. Right? Why, Dad? Because I said so. That's it. Right? It's over. It's done. You know, she probably didn't understand. She probably, you know, whatever, or really wanted to know. It doesn't matter. I told you no, and it's no, just because I said so. Well, you know, God says some things, and God tells us some things in the Word of God that we should just obey. Not ask why, just do it. Why do we preach the Word? Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them to believe. God says it is foolishness, right? I mean, God says, you know what? When you stand out there and you preach the Word of God on the streets, at the Alamo, you know, doing what we do, it looks foolish. And you guys know it does. If you guys have gone with these guys to go preach, you sit there and look at them, and it really does look foolish. But how many people have been saved by the foolishness of preaching? You know, and even up here, you can, you know, somebody's preaching even from the pulpit and they're given God's word. Well, you know what changes? It's not the decibels. It's not the screaming. It's not how much spit you're, you know, throwing out of your mouth. It's not what you wear. It's not dressing up like a clown, or it's not doing some, you know, scandal so you can gather people. It's the Word of God. That's the awesome thing about preaching the gospel. You know, the gospel has no borders. When I went to Poland and preached over there, I didn't have to change any message. I preached there exactly what I believe. I preached this book, and it works wherever you go. The Bible, it has no limits. What changes people is the gospel, is the Word of God. And God said, go out and preach. Why? Because it saves people, because it changes people, because you reach people, because the Bible says that by faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. That's how our faith increases. You know, the Bible says over there in Hebrews 10:25 that we shouldn't forsake the assembly. And you think, why is this so important? Why do we have to be faithful to our assembly? You know, I mean, we have, you know, streaming now. Why can't I just stay home? Right? I mean, that is a
that is a, that's something that's, that possibly, you know, some of us might be able or might get to that stage in our life when we have to stay home just because we can't get out of the house of old age or whatever. You know, it does happen, and, you know, praise the Lord for streaming. But man, you're healthy. You need a meat, right? You know, and you say, well, why? They don't need me, whatever. You know what the simple answer is? Because God said so.
That's right.
Right? God said that we need to assemble together, right? God says over there, he says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. God even knows that some people, that's their manner. Some people are just not going to meet. Some people are just not going to gather together, you know? And you try to motivate them. You try to make them see, you know, what you see. You try to get them involved. And I think we should do that. But we need to be very careful not to follow that manner. We need to just obey God. God says meet. God said come together. God said we need to be together to worship. We need to do exactly that. You know, obedience is something that has its rewards. It says exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, how many times have you come to a meeting and maybe not wanting to come, but you come and you hear exactly what you needed to hear.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, in spite of your bad attitude, in spite of your murmuring, you say that verse is in your head, and you're thinking, "Okay, God, you said I got, you know, and I really don't have. It's not like I'm working, you know. It's not like I'm a doctor and I'm on call, you know. It's not like, you know, whatever. Yeah, you know, I'm not in the hospital, or I'm not, you know, on vacation. I'm here. Well, if I'm here, I need to be here, right? I mean, I know sometimes we might have perfectly good excuses. You know, you might have a seminar that they only do on Sundays, or you might have a seminar they only do on Wednesdays, but you know, whatever. But the manner of our life should be to meet. Just simply because God says to do it. And this military strategy that they had was incredible. And yet, there was no murmuring. No one spoke. No one said anything. They did exactly what God told them to do, and they got the victory.
Amen.
Another thing that you see right here is, for 7 days they did it, and on the seventh day, right, they saw God's power. Discipline. You know, we gotta be disciplined people. Discipline is very important. Right? We got to be disciplined in our relationship with God, right? That is important. The same way you got to be disciplined with your relationship with your wife, with your spouse, right? With your kids, you got to schedule some things because life just gets away. And then all of a sudden you get to a certain stage where you go, "What happened? My life is falling apart. How did I get to this place?" Well, you haven't disciplined yourself. These people woke up every single day and they knew exactly what they had to do. I don't know the measurements of this city. I don't know how big it was. I don't know how much of a trek it was to go around it, but you know, maybe it was huge. They went around this thing for 7 days. Discipline. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season." Right? All the time. Disciplined. You know, I would like to come here and tell you that every day I feel like serving God. I would really love to tell you that. But that's a lie. Right? I would like to tell you that every single day I just wake up in the morning and I can't wait to go out in the street and preach. I would really like to say that, but that's not true, right? Lots of times what happens is just discipline. Lots of times you say, you know what? This is what I have to do, right? I have to get up in the morning. I have to prepare myself. I have to go out and meet the enemy, and I got to go out and try to win some people to Christ, This is what I do. Okay. I know a lot of people, most of people in here understand what we do as full-time preachers, right? But try to explain that to somebody outside and they say, what do you do? What's your occupation? I say, well, I preach the Bible. Well, you know, how do you make money? Well, that's a good question. Well, you know, we come here and we don't ask for money. You know, we come here, we preach, and I try to explain the situation, taking advantage and, you know, giving them the gospel and telling them how it works, right? But they have no idea what I'm talking about. Listen to me. You and I have to be disciplined in this. And there's lots of times I can tell you, and just here recently, Before we came up, I think Stephen was either he had to go preach somewhere else or something happened. He wasn't in town, but I had to go the week before Stephen was there with his father-in-law and we preached the street. And then that weekend he had to go somewhere or something. And so Monday came along, right? And we didn't have any luck on that street. As far as no one came out, and it was getting really routine, and it's been getting really routine, and it's just like, man. And so Monday comes around, and well, no one's waiting for me, right? I'm thinking, oh, I'll forget about it. You know, I'm just going to take today. Well, no, I'm here struggling, you know, with these thoughts and struggling, you know, with this idea, and, you know, looking for a cloud in the sky, let it rain so I can have an excuse. Well, no, that didn't happen. So I hop on my bike, you know, maybe a flat tire. Something will happen that I don't make it. Because it's hard preaching by yourself, right? It's discouraging preaching by yourself. Get all the way out there. And I remember that Friday when we went to preach and no one was listening. And I remember getting done and telling God, no one's listening, you know? I mean, no one even came out. It was just a waste. That Monday, going out there, and I confessed. I told God, look, I'm sorry. I got a bad attitude, and, you know, bless me. So there I am. I'm preaching on that street, and I'm almost done. And a lady comes out. A lady walks around the corner and comes out, and she stops, and she tells me, I want to talk to you. I said, okay. So I got done. Right. I was right at the point where I could be quiet because, you know, I only had 10,000 people listen to me. Right. But I could stop, you know. And so I stopped and she's one of the ladies back there on that board. Lorena comes and she tells me, look, I want to tell you something. Last Friday, me and my father were listening to you guys. We didn't want to come out because we were scared. Right. But we're listening. We turned off our TV and we listened to your message. And then you guys left. I heard you. You said, if you had any questions, if you wanted to talk to us, you know, we're going to be here for a few minutes. And we were like, you know, should we go? Should we not go? And we didn't go. And so you left. And then that night you said, I told my dad, I said, you know what? If I see him again, I'm going to tell him, thank you for coming and preaching on my street. Thank you for doing that because it takes, you know, she was telling me it takes a lot of courage, all this stuff. And, you know, wow. And I'm thinking, man, you're just a bum. You know, I can't believe, you know, that God, in spite of my unfaithfulness, in spite of my lack of faith, in spite of my murmuring and complaining, God says, I'm going to use you anyways. Obedience.
Yeah. Amen.
Obedience. Look, God does not pick a perfect church.
Right.
He's not going around saying, I want to pick perfect people who are not going to fail me to do this huge job. And we know this because look, the very next chapter in AI, somebody took something they weren't supposed to. And thousands of people died. They had a huge victory just the chapter before. And then they go and God says, don't take anything. Leave it all there. And they saw something sparkling. And they said, it doesn't matter. I'll just take this. Disobedience. Big contrast. You think obedience doesn't matter? Obedience matters. You think doing your very small part is not that big of a deal? It is a big deal. We need to esteem obedience. We need to say, you know what? It's a good thing to obey. It's a good thing to say yes, God, to whatever He wants. You know, another thing, and they were disciplined here. It says over there in 2 Corinthians, and I know this is talking about finances, but it just struck me a little different. It says, it says in 9:7, it says, every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. Right? And we know it's talking about money, but give, you know, we got to purpose it in our heart to give to serve God. Amen. Right? It's something that you have to settle. It's something that we have to understand. God, I want to get my heart right. I want to purpose it in my heart and I want to do it. And you know what God says? He says, not grudgingly. Right? Don't be reluctant about doing it. God wants you to truly think about your life and truly think about your church and truly think about your Christian walk. And He don't want you to do it all mad. He don't want you to do it like, man, you know, I don't really want to do this. We should want to serve God. We should want to do our best, right? And He says they're not of necessity. It's not like God needs you. You know, it's not like you're saying, I want to bless God with my service. I want to bless God with what I can offer Him. No, you know what? The truth is, we're blessed because of God. That's the truth. It says, not of necessity or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. How much more happy would God have been with me, I think, if I would have just been a cheerful servant that day? If I would have said, you know what? I want to do this. I want to serve you. It doesn't matter if anybody listens, because you know why? You're listening. You're worthy. I'm doing exactly what you want me to do. Lots of times we have this problem, like we've spoken this morning about recognition. We want somebody to pat us on the back. We think we're actually worthy of people listening to us. But you know what? We aren't. God's worthy. Amen. You know, the world should just stand still and listen to God, but it's not us. Another thing that I thought was interesting was, and the last thing, was unity. They all did it. Nobody fell out of line. Nobody said, you know what? That's just a ridiculous plan. You know, it doesn't make sense. I don't know why we're going to do this. We have these nice weapons. You know, why are we going to walk around a city and shout on the seventh day? And I'm leaving. I'm done. You know, that happens all the time. People just say, I'm done. People just say, you know what? I'm not going to be involved in this anymore. I'm not going to be of one mind with you guys anymore. Just forget it. I'm going to go somewhere else. Well, you know, it didn't happen here. They were united in this front. They were united in obeying what God said. You know, I think one more text, if we want to go there, and it is in Second Chronicles, because the last thing they did when they were all together is they shouted, right? And I don't think they just, you know, that day they just went you know. I think actually it was something, you know, it was something coherent. You know, because God is God of order, right? I think maybe they had, I don't know, you know, a praise come out of their mouth. Something. Maybe they just sang a song. Maybe, you know, whatever it was a loud noise, all in unison, all together. Look what happens here in Second Chronicles. Look what it says here in verse 15 of chapter 20. It says, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Oh, wait a minute. I thought the battle was God's. Why are they having to go down? It says, behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. It says, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. He says, set yourselves. You know what he's saying? You have to be in your position. You have to be right in your place. He wanted them to go down there and set up and watch the salvation of God. You know, it's amazing to me that anybody listens to me. It's amazing to me when somebody actually has a question. It's amazing to me, really, when you go out there and preach the gospel and try to teach somebody, you know, the word of God. It's amazing that people are interested and want to come to church. Look, we are not, and I am not an eloquent person, right? We are not the cream of the crop. We don't have, you know, fame and power. It's God's word. Every single work that we're a part of. This church here, you know, the churches in Mexico, the churches in Poland, the people that gather together. Why do they gather together? It's God. It's His fight. It's His war. It's His mission. But He does say, set yourselves. He does say, make sure you are in your position. He says in 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And it's incredible that again we're seeing here that what they started to do is lift up their voice and they started praising God. They lifted up their voice and they started singing to God. It says, and they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. You know, if we just believe God, if we just understand that even the most ridiculous things that in your mind you don't understand some things in your Christian life, just believe God and just do it. Maybe later on God will give you a little bit of clarity, right? Maybe later on God will give you the reason why He wanted you to do that in the first place. But it's very simple. If you make a decision to just believe God, it says here, if you believe God, you shall ye be established. And then it says, believe His prophets, so shall ye prosper. You know what we've been doing? You know what your pastors do every single meeting is they give you the word of God. And what God is saying is believe your prophets. Believe these guys. Believe your preachers. Because why? Because every one of us, we have the word of God. Every one of us have the word of God. And so we're looking at the word of God and we're seeing what is being taught. And if it's exactly what's coming out of their mouth, you need to believe it. Not so much for the prophet, but because it came out of God's mouth. Because it's His teaching. Because it's something for you and for the congregation and for us if we want to prosper. We want more people saved, more like Michael saved in Poland, don't we? Huh? Wouldn't it be really good if Michael goes back and you know, and he got something, he said, you know what? I'm going to start preaching. I don't even know if you preach now, but maybe go back and say, you know what? I want a rotation in this meeting. I want to maybe stand up and you know, share, in the meeting. I want to maybe, you know, have a ministry, you know, in the future. I don't know. But anyway, that would be really good to find more people and to have our churches grow even more. And how? How are we going to do this? God says, believe me. God says, believe the people that are preaching to you, right? God says, you know, you have the Bible, right? You're looking at it. It's God's talking to you. Believe it. If you want to prosper. It says here, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord and that should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Maybe it was something like that. Maybe when he said, stand up and shout, maybe they got up there and said, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And that wall fell. I have no idea. But what I'm trying to tell you is, God wants to be worshipped. And God deserves our worship. God deserves for us to come with a glad heart, with a joyful heart, and worship Him. Why? Because He is our God. It says, and when they, look at this, and when they began to sing and to praise, it says, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And it said, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, and utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. They started praising God, they started singing to God, and they started worshiping God, and in the confusion, they started killing each other. Their enemies. They just stood back and saw the salvation of God. Same exact miracle that we see there in Jericho. They shouted, and the wall fell. We got to be very, very careful though, because like I mentioned, in the very next chapter, is like they forgot about it. In the very next chapter, they forgot about the routine that they had to do to get that victory. They forgot about the faith that was involved. They forgot about obedience, right? They forgot about the discipline that's necessary, and they forgot that they all had to be united. Okay, this guy that took that gold, that took that wealth, he hid it under his tent. It was for him. It wasn't like he was going to share it with everybody. It was his stuff. And God already told him, don't do that, and they fell right back in it. I say this because God has something incredible for us to continue to do. And I think exactly like we see over there in verse 16 of Joshua, where it was time for them to get that victory. The Bible says there in verse 16 that God said, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. You know, I think we need to take that real personal. I think we need to understand that we need to start getting back, not only getting our life back and really, really purposing in our heart to serve God and get things right, but start worshiping God like He is worthy of our worship. Because let me tell you, God, I truly believe God has given us Poland. I truly believe that. Why? We have people there for how long? 20 years. 20 years they've been living there. God has given us that country. God has given us Mexico. 23, 24 churches that we have there in Mexico. God has given us that. And let me tell you, God has given us San Antonio. Amen. Oh man, we need to get busy and shouting.
Yeah, amen.
We need to get busy and start praising God. We need to get busy and getting right with God and getting our ducks all in a row. Why? Because God has given us He's already told us, and we need to just go and take it, but he's going to use you, and he needs you to be correct. Amen?